It's been 3 weeks since my wife touched me again. It had been 3 long years. I didn't know if I would ever feel her touch again. I didn't know if I would feel the touch of another human being ever again. But then 3 weeks ago, I'm really getting ahead of myself in this story here, and I think you need to hear all of it. See, it was 3 years ago when I was in the field and I was plowing the ground, getting it ready for planting. Plowing is back-breaking work, but I was glad to be doing it. My wife and I, we had recently had a baby, a little girl. And I wasn't just working the field anymore. It was building something for my family. As I was working, I could feel my fingers getting numb. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just gripping the scythe a little too tightly. I didn't say anything to my wife over the next several days, but she must have realized something. See, the numbness, it never really went away. And I was walking around and I carried my hand kind of like a wounded bird next to my body. Then one evening as I plunged my hands into the wash basin, the water reddened. My finger was bleeding and bleeding freely. I hadn't realized that I'd cut myself. I don't remember using a knife or anything sharp. I looked at my robe and there were crimson spots in different places. I stood there for the longest time, not wanting to look at my wife. I knew as I stood there, my life would never be the same again. "Shall I go with you?" she asked me. "Where?" I said. "To see the priest." "No, I'll go alone." Now the priest, he wouldn't touch me. He looked at my hands. He looked at my face, covered with worry and sorrow. Now I couldn't fault him. You see, he was only doing his job. He was only doing what he was taught to do in these circumstances. He covered his mouth and he extended his hand palm outward. He said, "You are unclean." With those words, I lost my family, my farm, my future, my friends. I lost my life. Now, my wife, she met me at the city gates with a bundle of clothing and some bread and coins. She didn't speak. Now, some of our friends, they came and they gathered there as well. In their eyes, I would see what I would see for the next 3 years. Fear and pity. Maybe Thanksgiving that it wasn't them. Now, their fear and their horror of my disease was greater than their concern for my heart. They stepped back, and I turned away. Over the next 3 years, my hands gnarled from the disease. My fingertips, they literally fell off, as well as parts of my ears and even the tip of my nose. I carried a bell, and if others approached, I was required to ring the bell and to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Fathers would grab their children and mothers would cover their mouths. My clothes became like rags and they were covered with the ever-increasing sores. I kept asking myself, what had I done to deserve this? Now, some say it was because of my sin, and still others said it was because of the sins of my parents. But what could I or my parents have ever done to require me to carry a damnable bell and to beg? To beg for food? To beg for forgiveness? To beg for my life back? Now, I shared a cave down in the pits with a Samaritan. Never in my life would I have ever considered breaking bread or sharing space with those who were beneath me. It's amazing what this disease did. At the bottom of the pit, we were all equal in some sort of strange way. Each of us missed our families. Each of us missed what our life had been. Each of us prayed and at the same time we cursed God. Each of us, we lost hope and we buried our dead. Each of us saw the future and we welcomed hell. And then 3 weeks ago, several of us were near the pit in the village between Samaria and Galilee. And we were ringing our bells and we were begging for coins and food. When one of us, and I'm not sure exactly which one, started yelling, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, I didn't know who he was yelling at until I saw him. You see, I'd heard of this man, Jesus, but this was the first time I had ever seen him. I looked, and he looked. Well, he looked so ordinary except for his eyes. There was something about the way that he looked at us. I saw no pity, no fear. There was something in his eyes that I had never seen in the eyes of another or have ever seen since. Now, in a voice that was so low it was hard to hear, he told us to go and to show ourselves to the priest. He didn't touch us. He didn't give us anything. He simply told us to go show ourselves. Now, I hadn't been made clean, but I felt something. I felt I had to go and to do as he told us. And on the way, something happened. Not only did my hands clear, but they changed. My fingertips were restored. I touched my nose. It was whole. I was whole. I wore the rags of a leper, but I knew that I was clean. Now, we went to the priest, and he examined us, and he told us what I already knew. The priest orders 2 living birds, some cedar wood, some crimson yarn, some hyssop, that it be brought in for each one of us, and he slaughtered one of the birds over some fresh water. And then he took the living bird and the cedar wood and the crimson yarn and hyssop, and he dipped it in the blood of the slaughtered bird, and he sprinkled each of us 7 times. And then he released the living bird, and he declared us all clean. He told each of us to burn our clothes, to shave our hair, and then to go and bathe. You have never seen such flashing and joy than there was at that time. But there was an urgency. We each wanted to go home. Home. Where would home be? Where was my wife and my little girl? Now, I knew that the farm was gone, but that didn't matter. I had been given my life back. I was whole. I went to the house of my in-laws, and I asked if my wife was there and if she had remarried. They couldn't believe what they saw, and it seemed to take them forever to tell me that my wife had not only not remarried, but that she lived there on the farm. She was at the market, and she would return home soon. I waited for what seemed like forever, and then I saw her. I saw her and my little girl. And you can never know what the embrace was like. You can never know how the touch of another person can restore you after such a long time. I stood in the street, and I hugged and hugged, and I cried and I cried. And in the days to follow, my wife and I, we made these plans. We had a life to live. We had a reason to rejoice. Now, just the other night, my wife reminded me that Passover was near and we needed to go to Jerusalem. You see, I had lost all concept of time down there in the pits. Passover. How many times had I been to the temple to give thanks? But this year would be so special. I couldn't even remember the words to say. A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. I remembered what a great day of thanksgiving it was going to be. Now, as we entered the city on the day before Passover, I heard someone call my name. And I turned, and there was my friend, truly my friend, my Samaritan friend. I didn't hesitate for a moment, and I introduced him to my wife and my little girl. And we embraced and we looked at one another. We looked so different. We looked so normal. "Have you found your family?" I asked him. "Oh, yes," he told me as a tear filled his eye. "So are you coming to the temple?" I stumbled. I knew that he wasn't Jewish. What was I thinking? "What brings you to town?" I asked, how I felt so foolish. He said, "I understand. Before I returned home, I had to find that man Jesus and to tell him thank you. I found him that day with some of the men that were with him, and they told me that they were coming to Jerusalem for the Passover." Now at that very moment, I couldn't have felt any smaller. You see, I had forgotten. I had never told Jesus thank you. How could I have failed? I had to correct this wrong. This man gave me a new life, and I hadn't taken the time to say thank you. My friend, who wasn't even Jewish, he knew to do what was right. And I, in my own joy, had forgotten. "Did he come to Jerusalem?" I asked. "Oh, yes. Earlier this week, he came into town, and people, they lined the road with palm branches, and they were singing Hosanna. And since last Tuesday, he has been in the temple teaching those who will gather around him. The priests and the Pharisees, they seem to be challenging him with some of these impossible questions, but he always just seems to frustrate them." I turned to my wife and I told her, "I must go to the temple now. I must find this man Jesus and thank him." She understood. She heard in my voice the look that had been on her face just 3 years ago. How could I have forgotten? I had such difficulty in trying to reach the temple. The streets were crowded, and there was yelling that was coming from the palace. What could be going on at the palace? Finally, all hot and sweaty, I managed to make my way into the temple. "Where was this teacher?" I asked. "This man, Jesus." I asked the first person I saw, and they said, "Hadn't I heard? He was arrested and being tried by Pilate." "For what?" I asked. "What could this man have done to be tried by Pilate?" "Oh, he kept claiming that the temple would be destroyed and in 3 days he could rebuild it," and on and on and on. I hurried as fast as I could toward the palace. The crowds, they were even worse. There was some sort of parade or procession going on, and the streets were blocked. When I finally made it to the palace, it was all but empty. I asked one of the centurions, "Where is Jesus?" And he looked at me like I was some sort of criminal. "Why do you ask? Are you one of his followers?" "Well, no, but I must tell him thank you." "Well, you are too late. They have taken him and some of the others outside the gates to the skull." "What is the skull?" "It's the rock where we crucify the criminals." "Crucify?" It seemed to take forever to get out of the palace and on the streets again. People, they were going about their business as if nothing was going on. How could this be? See, they were going to crucify Jesus. As I left the gate, the sky was turning black. It was dark as night, but I could see off in the distance the hill and the crosses, and there were three of them, side by side. I ran as fast as my legs would carry me. The sky flashed in a clap of thunder just as I neared the cross. There were some women who were gathered around one of the crosses crying, and a centurion was standing at the base of the crosses. I looked up, and there was a man on the cross with the words, "King of the Jews," written above his head. It was the same man. He was dead. I stood there for the longest time. I didn't see any of the men that were with him that day just 3 weeks ago. I turned to walk back to my wife. And that night as I lay there in my bed, I kept asking myself, how could I have failed to thank him? Even more important, how do I thank him now? How do you thank a king? How do you thank a dead king? If only I had one more chance. Years ago, there was a radio program called The Rest of the Story. And some of you may remember that with Art Linkletter. And he would come up and he would tell about a story, but then he would go on and tell you the rest of the story. Because you see, Jesus Christ, he did come to this earth. And while he walked the earth, he healed people of all sorts of diseases and ailments, and he did all kinds of miracles. And he hung on a cross, and he died. But here's the rest of the story. He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. That's right. That's a great message just right there. And you know what he did back then in healing people and helping people? He does that exact same thing today. He walks with us. He's here with us, and he loves us, and he can heal us. See, that's the rest of the story. It doesn't have to be left where our friend left it as he walked out if only had one more chance, because we have that chance every day. Jesus has done marvelous things for us, and we need to take the time to say thank you. And I know you all did that. You all shared thank you in the song that you just closed with. Hopefully you're picking up in these past several weeks that it's kind of, and the women had it at their ladies' tea, it's an attitude of gratitude. Learning to say thank you to people who've helped out and who go beyond and stuff like that. We need to be people who are thankful people. And remember to thank Jesus for the things that he has done for us and that he continues to do for us. That's what it's all about. Don't get so caught up that we forget to do that. And that there, that is the rest of the story.